Morning, my friends. It is good to be with you at the end of what has been a very difficult week for our community and for our world. I just want to get a little bit closer to you this morning, so I decided to stand here for our welcome today. Our hearts go out to all of you whose homes or businesses have been affected by the storms, and we're still learning who has been affected and working together to bring relief and hope to our community. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a few minutes, but first I want to welcome everyone who's here this morning, and especially if you're visiting with us, we're so glad that you're here, and I hope that everyone experiences the love and peace of Christ as we worship together. I would invite everybody to sign in on the registration pads, and if you are a regular worshiper and you know how to do that, then help the folks around you. Those pads are at the end of each row, and if you would sign in and let us know you were here, that would be great. A few announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 4:30, our chancel choir will lead us in a time of worship, their choir concert. And we also ask that you be in prayer for them. They will be leaving later this week to go to Montgomery, Alabama, to sing at the ACDA, which stands for Choral Directors Association, or some, I need to get the right name for that. But it is a real honor that they were invited to sing, and so they will be representing West End beautifully as they go to share music in that environment. I also want to share just a little bit about tornado relief and some of the things that we are working on. We have some folks in Reed Hall who have put together some things that their heart has led them to do. If you'd like to buy some Nashville Strong cookies or some paint-by-number images of Nashville, all of that money is going to go to support East End, United Methodist Church, and other places that are in need of relief. If you'll keep your eyes on our emails and on our website, we'll be sharing opportunities to serve. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye has done an amazing job keeping West End up to the latest news on how we can help and what we can do. So please, I invite you to keep checking those opportunities throughout the weeks ahead. We also are concerned about the coronavirus and all of the news that's right in front of us each and every day. So we want you to know our staff is meeting this week to talk about how we can be better prepared and help all of us to stay healthy and safe. We're going to do our best to have hand sanitizer everywhere and making sure to everybody washes their hands. And by the way, we talked about the Lord's Prayer last week. The Lord's Prayer lasts about 20 seconds. So if you pray the Lord's Prayer as you're washing your hands, that's a great way to make sure you're doing that right and to keep that prayer in your heart and in your body. Also, as we come to the passing of the peace in our service, we want to encourage everyone to bow toward one another, to bump elbows, because it's hard for some people to refrain from shaking hands even if they want to. So if we'll just abide by that during this season. Some wonderful news that we received this week that I want to share with you. Both Reverend Brandon Baxter and Reverend Maggie Jarrell were approved for final ordination by the Board of Ordained Ministry. So we celebrate that with them. Congratulations. And we will keep you up to date on the ordination service and all of that as it comes ahead in June. Finally, another good news. Today is our traditional daffodil day, and we have our congregational care folks who have put together vases and daffodils to be delivered to our church members who are unable to worship with us in person. And if you will stop by the gymnasium on your way out of church this morning, you can get a name, an address or two, and deliver those daffodils to church members who will be more than grateful to receive that from our church with our love and prayers. We are continuing with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount this morning. I think all of us are hungry to hear the teachings of Jesus as we gather this morning, both the comfort and the instruction. So let us open our hearts and minds to hear this Sermon on the Mount, to worship together and find God in our midst and in our community.
Thank you. worship God.
Come, let us worship God. Come, let us worship God. Come, let us worship God. As we worship, we are invited to acknowledge the ways in which we have fallen short of the call of God. Let us then make this confession together. Merciful God, we confess that we have made a show of our faith. We have put ourselves on display so that others might look at us and admire our piety. We have been overwhelmed by greed. We have put our trust in our earthly possessions rather than storing up treasures in heaven. We have fallen short of the call to love you, Lord, and to love our neighbors. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. Show us the better way. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of
Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the Lenten prayer for illumination. O God, we offer all of our preconceptions about the Scripture, all of our safe, familiar interpretations, to the flame of your refining fire. Turn them into ashes and let new meaning rise like the sun at the dawn of a new day. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew. If you'd like to follow along, please turn to page 787 in your pew Bible. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal, like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
Grown-ups to be seated, and any other kids who want to come up, please do. Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. We heard a word in the scripture this morning that Jesus said, when you fast. Now, we know the word fast, right? It means speedy, right? But it also means something else. When Jesus used the word, he meant something else. To fast means to give up some kind of food for a while. And so there were people who would maybe go for a day without food so they could pray and think more about God. We're in a season called Lent. It lasts for 40 days leading up to Easter. And sometimes to get ready for Easter, we try to fast. We give up something that we enjoy in order to help us think more about God and to pray to God. Now, you all are too little to give up any kind of food. You need to eat because your bodies are growing. But maybe there's something you could give up between now and Easter that would help you think about God. Like, well, maybe cookies, because our bodies don't really need cookies. So maybe if you gave up cookies for a day or for a week, every time you thought about a cookie, you could say a prayer to God. Or maybe you could give up playing your favorite video game for a day or for a week. And every time you think, oh, I want to play that video game, you can stop and say a prayer and say, God, I love you even more than that video game. That's kind of what Jesus is teaching his disciples about, that sometimes it's good to give something up to help us think about God. Let's pray together. Dear God, we have so many things, so many blessings in our lives. Help us, even with all of these blessings and all of these things, to remember there's nothing more important in our lives than your love. So if we can give something up for a day or for a week to help us remember your love for us, show us how to do that. And thank you for Jesus and his teachings. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening and learning a new way to understand the word fast. I have to admit, I wrestled with whether or not to talk about fasting today. Even though the bulletins were printed and we're in the middle of this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is all that's been planned and scheduled, and we picked the hymns and everything. With the week that we've experienced in our community and in our nation, I wondered, do we need to talk about fasting today? Do we need instead to hear a psalm? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Do we need a scripture that brings us comfort and that reminds us of the presence of God in all things, no matter what? And so I prayed about that and I wrestled with that. And somehow God continued to bring me back to the Sermon on the Mount and to nudge me to continue on the journey we've been on and to continue through chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus talks about fasting and treasures and possessions. And yet we come in this morning to worship with very heavy hearts. Some of us have been directly affected by the storms this week. I know some are still without power. Others have loved ones who've been displaced from their homes. I know many of you live in these neighborhoods where you're driving every day past destruction, and it just brings back the feelings of loss and trauma. Some of you have lost businesses. And we know even now, even this morning, our friends at East End United Methodist Church and Braden United Methodist Church and Dodson Chapel are displaced from their beloved sanctuaries. And I can't help but wonder, what if the tornado had veered a couple of miles and we were in their shoes? How would we be grieving and holding that sorrow that we've lost not just the beauty of this sanctuary, but the memories and the stories and all that is contained in this place? And so we grieve with our friends, and we carry that pain and the pain of our community with us into worship. And then layer on top of that all of the fear and worry around the coronavirus and trying to be prepared, and it seems like that's just in the news all around us and it's ever encroaching upon us. And what do we do with that fear? And we bring all of that with us into worship. And so how in the world can Jesus' teachings around fasting and spiritual disciplines and possessions speak to us in this moment? I believe they can. And so I want to explore these teachings a little bit more closely with you this morning, and hope and pray that in it, in spite of me, perhaps, there is a word from God for you in whatever situation you find yourself this morning. We're in this section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching the disciples about spiritual practices, spiritual piety. We talked last week about prayer, and we prayed together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And now he begins this next section by saying, whenever you fast, assuming that the people he was talking to had a practice of fasting, it's not if you fast, but when you fast. And in Jesus' day, it was an ordinary practice of the Jews to fast on the Day of Atonement, which we call Yom Kippur, and at other times as well, when they wanted to pray and fast. There were some who practiced fasting 2 days a week, from sundown one day to sundown the next day, to go without food. Early Christians practiced a fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. The early Methodists, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, taught their followers to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. In fact, John Wesley would not ordain someone to be a pastor if they were not willing to fast. So Brandon and Maggie, I don't know if you got that question at the retreat this weekend, but are you willing to practice a fast? The understanding was that this was a regular spiritual practice of self-denial, of giving up even the most necessary thing, food, in order to remind ourselves that nothing is more necessary to us than God, that we need God even more than we need the very basics of life. It was a way of showing devotion to God, of making space to remember God and to pray to God and to put trust in God. And Jesus follows these teachings about fasting by talking about possessions and treasures. That the things of this life, the things of this world are changing and shifting and can go at any moment. Moths and rust and tornadoes will destroy the things of this world without warning. And so a practice like fasting on a regular basis can help us remember that only God is permanent in our lives, that God comes first. So fasting was an ancient practice, but it's not one that we as Protestants especially today have kept alive among us. Now, I know some of you have practiced fasting. There was even someone in Bible study on Tuesday morning who said that he experienced, after fasting for a couple of days, a kind of spiritual clarity and a depth of prayer that he had not experienced before. But most of us, myself included, really haven't made fasting an important part of our spiritual practice. And for some of us, it's not healthy, either physically or mentally, to abstain from food. But maybe in our day, there are other ways of fasting, other ways of denying ourselves, in order to remind ourselves that there is nothing more important than God. There is nothing that lasts but God. And to make space in our lives and time for prayer. For example, we might choose to fast from social media. Maybe one day a week. Refuse to go on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram. And every time you find yourself reaching for the phone and wanting to connect, to set it down and to say a prayer and to remember that your deepest connection is with God through the Holy Spirit. I have a practice that I try to keep on my day off. On Thursdays, I try to fast from looking at email. Usually I fail, But it is a way of making some space in my mind, in my heart, in my life, to be fully present to the day that is before me, and not to get drawn into doing, because I have this tendency to think that I am what I do. Maybe for you, there is some practice of eating, of food that you could abstain from. Whatever it may be, the practice of self-denial, of saying to God, I am willing to give this up in order to make space for you. I think Jesus is inviting us in this Sermon on the Mount to consider the fast. Because, as I said, as a regular, ordinary practice, it helps keep our priorities straight. Sometimes, as we found this week, our priorities are blown apart by something extraordinary that happens, by a crisis. Our lives get reoriented when something like this tornado happens. I imagine this morning our friends at East End, who are going to be gathering in the park next to the church, are bringing with them deep grief and pain and loss. And yet, my friend who's one of the pastors there has said, you know, already we know who the church is. And we have this deep sense of God's presence that maybe we haven't felt in quite a while. There's this assurance that even in the midst of so much material stuff being lost, that God is God, and that God holds them and holds all of life. The practice of fasting can help remind us consistently that God is God and holds all of life. Tragedies and crisis can also remind us of that. We wouldn't wish it on ourselves or on anyone, but thanks be to God for that reassurance that God is our refuge and strength and is with us in every time of trouble, and in ordinary time too. There's one more thing that I think fasting can do for us, especially in a moment like this, especially for those of us who may not have been directly affected by these storms and by other tragedies that come to our lives. Fasting can help us be in solidarity with others who are suffering. If you fast for a day and you feel those hunger pangs, you become mindful of those who live with hunger pangs, not by choice. If we fast for a day, we place ourselves in solidarity with the hungry. I know of someone who has lost power in this storm, and he could move to a more comfortable place, but he has chosen to stay in his house because his neighbors are suffering and his neighbors don't have power, and he wants to be with them. He is intentionally denying himself comfort in order to be in solidarity with his neighbors. So maybe there are some ways that we can fast and give and help those who are suffering. A couple of simple examples. Maybe if you give up social media for a day or for a week or for the season of Lent, you could use the time you would normally use looking at Facebook or Instagram and pray for those who are hurting, or even go and volunteer and help and do something for those who are hurting. If you get a cup of mocha frappuccino at Starbucks every morning, maybe you could give up that habit for the season of Lent and collect the money you would have used and give it to people who need it in our community or across the world. I don't know how God might be calling you to self-denial, to fasting, to give some things up in this season of Lent. But I want to invite all of us now into a time of prayer together. Will Compton is on the bulletin this morning. He was supposed to be here as our second liturgist. He had a car accident yesterday. He's okay. Everybody's okay, but his doctor has suggested he stay home. So he won't be leading us in this time of prayer. And I thought instead that we could open up the altar rails and invite you to come as you feel led and spend some time in prayer. I think this is a Sunday when we need that. You may want to just pray for people in your life you know who are suffering. You may want to pray for those who are recovering from the storms. You may want to pray for health and security for those who are in communities being affected by the coronavirus. You may want to come forward and offer to God something in your life that you want to fast from in order to make room for God, in order to give to those who need it. Whatever it may be, I want to give you some time to pray and to offer yourself, your daily practices, your prayers, your actions to God. Before we do that, I do want to share our joys and concerns because we do this together as a church. And you may want to include this in your prayer time this morning. We want to pray together for Matt and Janet Harden, who are mourning the death of Matt's mother, Brenda Harden. She passed away on March 1st, and services were held on Thursday in Cookeville. Among her other survivors are her grandchildren, Henry, Grace, and Vivian Harden. I invite you now to come, if you feel led, or stay in your pews as you feel led in a time of prayer, and then I will close us with the Lord's Prayer. Let us be a people of fasting and prayer.
Thank you.
Let us continue in a spirit of prayer. Holy and loving God, our refuge, our rock, our strength, receive all of these, our prayers, even the ones that we cannot put into words. The pain we feel for our community, for our families, for our world. Give us hope. Give us your peace that passes all understanding. And use us as instruments of your healing and peace. May our fasting, may our praying strengthen us and deepen our trust in you. It is good to be together, O God, with the people of faith. And so we join our hearts, our voices, together in this place and together with your Christian family all across this city and across your world as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As those who have received the gift and the grace of a loving God, let us be giving and gracious to those around us in our giving, that God may use our gifts to build the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Thank you.
be seated for just a moment, we have some friends among us who are planning to travel to Guatemala later this week to be in ministry amongst the people working with an organization called ODIHM, with the indigenous Maya there in Guatemala. So I'm going to invite them to come up as we prepare to pray for them and consecrate them for the work they are about to do. As they're making their way up, I will say, before us today stand those who are ready for a particular assignment as volunteers in mission, who wish to dedicate themselves to their task, which starts on March 14th. Now we, as a congregation, are to commission them and send them forth in the name of Christ and in the name of the church. Lisa, Mike, Rob, Doug, Mary Lee, Pat, Emily, Caroline, Stacy, Lissa, Jill, Linda, Sarah, and Casey. We rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote this time, to give up this time, to devote your talents and energy for 1 week with the Organization for the Development of the Indigenous Maya. Your labors will take you to the people of Guatemala. They will also be in mission to you, as they likewise share their faith. You go as pilgrims to see where God is at work there and to join in God's work. Through word and deeds, you are to testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility. And so we want to pray for you. But first, I ask, will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in the Spirit of Christ, in cooperation with your fellow team members and leader, and with respect for national church officials and local hosts? If so, say, I will, the Lord being my helper. And now, friends, let us join together in prayer for these friends. If you will kneel, and we will join together in the prayer printed in the bulletin. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through Jesus, send your blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth to join you in mission with the people of Guatemala. Grant that they may be guided and strengthened for their task, that they may be open to new truths and insights from their hosts, and that they be good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name be glorified in all the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Keep these friends in your prayers in the days ahead as they travel and as they do God's work. God bless you all. And now I invite you to rise in body or spirit and let us join together in our closing hymn, a hymn of comfort and assurance of God's presence with us.
Thank you.
now may we go from this place with souls that are still and that are grounded in the ever-present love of God. May that grounding be the strength from which we go and serve our neighbors and shed light in our community and build trust that the God of gods is with us all, always. Amen.